And I agree. You know, this morning, just took my prayer walk, and it was one of your uncles. Or no, it was your aunt. Yeah, your aunt and your uncle. I met up with them down there. And they were getting ready to leave to go to New Jersey this morning. And I'm just walking down the street, and it was little Larry's aunt and uncle, and another couple. And I didn't know who the guy was, but I'm just coming back from my prayer walk down by the river, and I just see the guy out there, and I just stopped. I said, hey, how you doing? What a great day, blah, blah, blah. And we just started talking. I got to share Christ with him, and then Larry, one of Larry's uncles came out, and we started talking, and he remembered me. Then the two aunts came out, and then we all started talking right there before they went on their journey. I just want to encourage you, wherever you're walking, look for someone, and then bring up the love of God. Bring up the love of God, because it's going to change their lives. It's going to change their lives. By the time we got done, the one guy I'd never met before, he was from Florida. He was up there staying with your uncle. And he said, I hear him when I was walking away. He said, who is that guy anyway? And he goes, and that's the pastor of Rock Solid Church. He goes, yeah, man, he gave us a word this morning. All we have to do is give him the word of love. Anyone that you meet, don't be bashful. Don't be bashful. Don't be afraid that you don't have all the words. You'll have enough. Thank you, love.
Yes. Amen.
That's not what I was looking for. Pray for your spouses, because that's my wife right there. One other announcement that on November 10th, another blessing where Strong Tower Church is going to move to 11 o'clock in the morning. They finally decided to move theirs back so we could start at 11 o'clock in the morning. Isn't that awesome? And it was 1 year to the date that we released them. Because for the year, they were like, oh, we want to keep ours. We want this. We want this. And Pastor Dan can be a little bit reminding, shall we say. And asked, listen, right? That woman stood before the judge, and what did she do? Yeah. She just kept on asking. She just kept on asking. And he said, give her what she wants. I want you to know we got what we wanted. 11 o'clock on November 10th. They're going to be starting over there, which really changes things. Amen? So God is just so good. Nick, it's good to see you this morning. Man, that's a good-looking man right there, you know? Hey, I knew him when he was young. He was a long time ago. He's a lot younger than I am. But this morning, I pray that during worship, you were serious with your God. Because when we are honest with the King, he starts to change things. When we are honest with him, and we say, Lord, I'm going to lay it all down. You're not allowed to pick it up. The reality is God burns it up. So you're going to have to go back and fabricate something in order to pick it up. Amen? And how many people go back and try to fabricate something in order to pick it back up again? Because of something or someone or some situation. I want to encourage you, leave it there. Don't ever mention it again. Don't ever talk about it again. Whatever you laid down there, it's done. Now we agree with what the word says, your victory is in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's the biggest issue in the church. It's the biggest issue in my life, your life, every church, is that we agree with what he said rather than what you think. It's always the biggest issue. Why is it that many never step into the calling that God has for them? Because they believe what they think rather than what he said. I love Christian's word this morning. Man, he sculpted you. How many times did you think you weren't quite enough? And then you told God, you didn't sculpt me quite right. Well, I might have added to the sculpture, but he sculpted us just right. He put that personality and that gifting on the inside of you to give him glory. Amen? You do not lack this morning in any way, shape, or form for what he wanted you to do. It's not about somebody else. It's just about you and him admitting and agreeing that he made you just right. It's really that simple. And then just take that gift and use it for him. Regardless of what anybody else has ever said, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah, I can. Because with him, all things are possible. All right, I'm in the right church. John 1 says what? Everybody at once. In the beginning was the... Say it again.
John 1:1 and says, in the... John 1:1 says... Before everything was created, his word was already there. Everything that's created was created by his word. Nothing that was created without him. Amen? Right. So in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. Not in the beginning were many words. That's where we get caught up. But in the beginning was the word. Let's pray. Because I can feel something. Father, I just thank you for your word. This is the beginning of a season in each life that's here. Father, and in the beginning of the season, in every life that's represented here, it's your word. It's a new beginning. It's a new time and a new season. You called us to build bridges this year. There's new bridges being built because of the power of your word. Father, today, help us to rest in your word, trust in your word, rely on your word, memorize your word, sing about your word, testify about your word, live out your word, proclaim it everywhere we go. For it has been since the beginning, and it has never lost its power. Father, we do repent today for the many words that we've used that were not faith-filled. Some that were even divisive and destructive at times. Some that were filled with doubt. Father, you haven't given us that. That's the wrong spirit that we were listening to. For you haven't given us that spirit. Not one that lies. Not one that deceives. Not one that divides. You've given us the spirit of power and of love. You've given us one that is holy and never, ever plays games with us. You've given us the Holy Ghost who leads and comforts and guides and teaches. When we have him because of what you have given us according to your word, and we've received it in faith, and now we're acting on it because we agree with you, everything starts to change. So, Father, I thank you for changing our lives this morning by the power of your word. You said that when we ask, we receive. When we ask for forgiveness, when we repented, then we received new life. You said when we laid our lives down, you started to mold it into something beautiful. You took all the filthy rags and you threw them as far as the east is from the west, according to your word. Father, we agree with your word this morning that every curse is broken over every life represented here. We agree. I am not bound by any curse. No one here is bound by any curse, for nothing is more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Father, we will agree with your word, stand on your word, proclaim your word. Lord, even when we struggle, it will be your word that flows out of our mouths. For you said that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Lord, we want our hearts to be strong, renewed, healed. Lord, every area of it, we want it to be that which brings you glory. No longer looking left or right, but completely free today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the beginning was the word. You know, my prayer is that every time I come up to someone, that's my beginning. What would happen in the church if every time anyone here opened our mouths, the first thing we started was, in the beginning was the Word. And we had the Word of God or the Word of life that flows out of us. We have all these funny little things that we do when we greet one another, right? Some of it's encouraging. Some of it ain't. We've had a lot of ain't. We've had a lot of words that have flown out of our mouths into someone else's life that tears down, that's destructive, and all of those things. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. But in the beginning was the Word. So every beginning of our sentences, every beginning of our mornings, we need to be in the Word. And it needs to be the Word that we're flowing out of. Why? Because we're madly in love with Him. And the more that we know the Word, the more that we speak the Word, the more the Word is spoken, the more life flows out of each and every one of us. Just like Ethan had a dream about everybody standing there in agreement, and I was dreaming the other night, and I know I'm in a different stage. I think Ethan's catching me because it says your old men will dream dreams. I'm just throwing that out there, all right? My son Gavin spoke on Wednesday night about a vision he had. He's young. I have dreams, and I was dreaming the other night, and in my dream, I watched Mike's leg be completely healed and made whole. And that's where I'm standing. I'm not stopping. You know, when John G. Lake had his healing rooms, you know how he trained his students? When he got done training in what the Word of God says, and I want you to know, you have more training and more instruction on healing people than most of the people that came out of his healing rooms. If you've been sitting in church for the last 5 to 10 years, you've got more training in that than they did. But you know what he made them do? He found somebody and he said, they need to be healed. Go and you graduate. I think we should start this in RSBI. What do you think, Pastor Jeff? In order to graduate, you go and live with that person until they're healed and you don't leave. Exactly. Okay, that's the perfect expression because the church doesn't think like that. Right? Why? Because we're not sure about the power of His Word. They were sure. John G. Lake was sure about his word. He knew it worked. And every one of them, they went. And when they stayed there, some of them had to stay 6 months. Talk about an internship, huh? You sleep on a cot on the floor and you can't leave until that person is healed. Let me tell you something. You'll get into the Word. You'll be in prayer. I just want to go home. Not till they're healed. Oh, that the church would be that hungry to express Christ in other people's lives. Amen? Can I just tell you, faith always works. But you're going to have to do some work. You can't just get up in the morning, throw on the television, watch the Three Stooges, and expect to walk out in faith. You can't be watching the news channel first thing in the morning and expect you're going to get stirred up to go out and do what God's called you to do. In the beginning of your day was the
Word.
Amen. We're going to pound that all day for the rest of my life because the only thing we have to offer is the Word. Amen. Whatever the Word says, right? We grew up doing plumbing and heating. We offered, let's see, copper pipes and cast iron pipe and plastic pipe and fittings and everything else. Now my whole life is wrapped up in just the Word. It's about giving people the Word, standing on the Word, explaining that anything you have need of can come through the Word. Whatever it is. You've got a wayward child, get in the Word. I'm telling you, it works. It works. You got a problem in your marriage? Get in the
Word.
Both. Get in it. We're Christians. It's what the Word says. Amen? That's what we said on the day that I married my wife. I had no idea what I signed up for. I'm just being honest. They said... Back then, we didn't have internet and stuff like that, so the pastor mailed me some cassette tapes. Said, he got to listen to these. But I'm in love. I didn't listen to any of them. She knew. It was quite apparent that I didn't listen to any of them. Yeah, he's down in Mississippi. I'm up here in New York. He'll never know. The whole world knew I didn't listen to the tapes. Everybody gets to see what you're listening to. Amen? My marriage became something that you could see, and they knew whether I was in the Word or not. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. In the beginning was the man. You know, if we're going to continue to change the world, then I pray that we speak as the Father has taught us, right? Not based on your feeling. Your feeling is going to contradict the Word. Your experience is going to contradict the Word. Others are going to contradict the Word. Yes, but. Yeah, but. It could, but. How many people come and contradict the Word in your life? And I want you to think about that a little bit. And how many times have you contradicted the Word? How many want to complain the first thing that comes out of your mouth? You know that complaining only brings you into doubt and unbelief. That's what it does, right? Complaining always brings you into doubt and unbelief because we're always blaming somebody for what happened to me. Something happened. Oh, you don't understand. Nobody understands you. It's true. Except him. And he said, yeah, but if you'll get in the, you'll understand who you are also. And then you'll understand what they said. If it contradicts his word, you throw their word out and keep his. How many words are bumping through your head right now? How many words came in your head during worship that didn't line up with his word? How many people struggle in churches all around the world? How many people struggle when they come into church and they can't even sing the song without their minds going off someone else thinking something other than God? Something other than about God or giving God glory. How hard is it to take the mind and make it focus? It takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Yeah. So much of the church, and look, I'm included in all of this, all right? I don't need you here. I'm preaching to myself, all right? Just so you know, it's just me and Jesus. But so much of the church, they say what they want to say or how they feel, what they're thinking or what somebody else did, and they fail to speak the word. Sometimes we've sat down, and the hardest thing to do is to get people to say what the word says about their lives. Well, that works for you, but it doesn't work for me. It always works. It always works. It always works. How many wish you could have had some of the things you spoke back in your head? Because you didn't say, in the beginning was the word. How many things did you either create or maybe you added to that was destructive, was contrary to his word, because you couldn't keep that thought there? We wanted to join in. How many times have people come and started complaining and you had to say, oh, I know, and you even go worse? You bring up stuff Jesus forgave you of 100 years ago, some of you. And then you brought it up because you wanted to join in. Misery loves company, right? But we wanted to join in. We wanted to feel their pain. I don't want to feel their pain. I walked in that long enough. I want to feel the victory that they're going to have when the word goes forth into their lives. Amen? And this is where we have to go. Yes, you have to listen and let them complain, but not for 3 years. Not for 23 years. And I love what Ethan said. You know, sometimes I was thinking about this, and me and my bride were talking. When it comes to the Word of God, I think, how many need God's grace? Right. How many walk in God's grace? Some people, is this a trick question? No, there's no trick question, all right? But you're walking in God's grace. But I think sometimes we've used God's grace wrong. I really do. Because just like Ethan said, when he comes in here, his heart breaks for somebody that's still in addiction, right? Because I think that sometimes we said, God's grace is enough to carry me through in my addiction. God's grace is enough. He understands me that I'm just tired in the morning and I can't get up and read. His grace is enough. No, you're just lazy. I'm not lying before God. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to stand up here and lie. Yeah, but I'm not a good reader. Then play it on your phone. Right? But, oh, God's grace is enough. He understands me. He gets me. And that's what we do is we take his grace, I think, and we use it as something it was never meant to be. Because I don't know about you, but I know that my God's grace is enough to take me over. My God's grace is enough to free me from alcohol, to free me from drugs, to strengthen my marriage. My God's grace is enough because his power is on the inside of me in order to make it stronger and to get me through rather than allow me to sit in the mud and just spin around in circles for the next 20 years. So I just want you to think about that because God's grace, it's amazing. We sing about it all the time. His grace is amazing. And he has got grace for every single person in here, no matter where you're at. But I think that that grace is the power of God. It's the love of God on display in our lives. We cry out and say, I can't. He said, with me, you can. I can't do it. He says, yes, you can. No, you don't understand. Your grace is enough. Let me just stay down here and live something less than. How many people living in sin and yet saying God's grace is enough? Heaven forbid we take God's grace and use it like that. I'll make my decisions, live any way I want because his grace is enough. How foolish does that sound? How sad is that? That he said, hey, I want to come and walk alongside of you and I want to pull you up out of that. And we say, no, I'm diving back in. Because I love being miserable. I love being overwhelmed with misery. I love walking around hating everybody. I love complaining about every situation. That's where people spend most of their lives. I want you to know, God's got something more. In the beginning was the
Word.
We're going to have to do this next week too. Is that okay? Is it okay if we talk about the Word next week?
Yes.
All right. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, we got all day? Yes. Who said that? I love you. Thank you, Jim. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. Right? In the NASB, it says, every word of God is tested. I want you to know, God tested his own word before he gave it to you. God had already checked it. He had already played it out. He already knew there was nobody on this earth that stood on his word that would not have what his word says. Anyone who asks for forgiveness, do you get it?
Yes.
How many times? Okay, how many times does your husband, your wife, your friend, your neighbor, your brother, your sister, how many times do they get forgiven? Never. Once every 6 months. Other than that, I don't talk to them. Right? So this is where the word of God is tested. When we ask for forgiveness, we want it right then. God, I can't carry this anymore. And you can't. You're right. And he doesn't want us to. But when they offend you, hey, would you forgive me? We might be able to discuss it over Texas Roadhouse. Maybe in Bermuda. And we put up stipulations about forgiving others. And yet God, he washes and cleanses us every time that we ask. Because he doesn't want us wallowing around in it. His word is tested and it's true. He tested every word. Everything that's written in that book, he has tested it. For the will of God, it says in Luke 1:37, will never fail. The will of God will never fail. Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away and it will never fail. That's right. So His word was in the beginning, right? In the beginning was the word. And he said, heaven and earth are going to pass away. So everything that most people, prayerfully, nobody in this church, but heathens, are putting all of their faith in, what they can gather, is going to be destroyed. But yet his word will still stand, right? No matter how long it takes before this earth and the world. All right. It's a new one. It'll be in the dictionary soon, I guarantee you. The new world will be completely burned and everything destroyed, but his word's still going to stand. And if they don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you're not getting in. There's no way in. One way. Through the Son. There's no other way in. The word will never change. All the way through eternity, the word will never change and it will never end. Psalms 119:89 says, your word is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. His word is eternal. He's never going to back away from his word in your life. Maybe you had a father and he backed away. His word was no good. Forgive him and grab a hold of the word, because his word's always good. Maybe you had a mom and her word was no good. Maybe you had a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a daughter, whatever it was, a boss whose word was no good. Let go of their words and grab a hold of yours, because it's a word that he gave you. You know, he said in Second Timothy 3:16, right, that every word is what? The word of God. Every word of God is inspired. Isn't that what it says? Every word is inspired. One man said that every single word in your Bible. See, this is why we need a Bible. This is why we need to put the word of God before our eyes. Because every single word is still impregnated with the Holy Ghost. Every word, every dot, every comma, everything is impregnated with the power of the Holy Ghost. So every time we read the word of God, it's like the very breath of God starts to infuse our minds and renews it. It starts to empower our lungs. We start to breathe differently. And everything about your body starts to come in line with the truth. That's what happens when you read the word. This is why we beg you all the time. Shut everything else off. Shut it all off. All you have to do, just listen. And the power of God starts to manifest itself the minute my eyes see it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Oh, my God satisfies me. In the beginning, that word came, and it still satisfies, because every single word is impregnated with the very power of God to transform you and everybody you come in contact with. Because when he said, you can do all things, you'll do greater things for those that walk with him and are filled with the Spirit. Greater things you'll do. It eliminates and it destroys. You're a failure. You're a loser. You're weak and pathetic. You've made too many mistakes. Nobody loves you. Open the word. The love of God will never leave me. My God will always go before me. My God is my rear guard and he's my strong tower. My life has changed. The power of God in every single one of them renews the strength on the inside of us. It opens up understanding that no matter where you walk, every step you take, righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. I'm walking in righteousness. What comes out of my mouth? In the beginning, there's the word. The word's going to come out and it's going to start to manifest in every situation that I walk in. Why? Because I took the word in, and the very power of God now lives and rules and reigns on the inside of me. Amen. This is the power of God's word. And it's got to be in the beginning of your morning. It's got to be in the beginning of your sentences. It's got to be at the end of your sentences. It's got to be in the beginning of every undertaking you take. Don't waste your time with the cares of this world. Don't waste your time. They're crying out for somebody to tell them the word. I remember one time my daughter came in and we were here, I don't know if it was before or after church, and she said, I can't find Chance. 20 people went in 20 different directions for that boy. There's no telling where he's going. He's got one direction, wherever he hasn't been. 20 people went 20 different directions looking for one baby. Oh, that the body of Christ would go looking for one lost soul. Because these are all God's kids, and he feels the same way about every one of them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whether they're just people that are poor or whether they're terrorists, every one of them need a chance. Every one of them need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the body of Christ goes every morning, and then all we have to give them is the power of God every time we open our mouths, and then we're going to see a harvest like we've never seen before. And I pray that as we look at this next week, please don't use his grace as an excuse for you to stay down in the muck and the mire. Don't try to use that to explain away our lack of discipline in the word, our time in prayer, our faithfulness in the house where you're around other brothers and sisters that will strengthen you. Please don't. If you study in the book of Mark on Tuesday night, that's the power gospel. There's nothing but pure power coming out of the book of Mark. I want you to know one after another, after another, after another, that is powerful. If you feel like you're weak, get in the power gospel. You want to get changed? We can do that through the word of God. And you know what? You don't need somebody else doing it for you. Because you can tell yourself who you are in Christ every single day. I'll tell you how wonderful you are every day. All of our girls are beautiful. Every one of you. I don't care what color you've made your hair today. You're still beautiful. I don't care what color earrings you have on or how much you spend on your dress. We like, what is that store? The Goodwill? We like Goodwill. I don't care. If it looks new, I'll wear it. If it doesn't look new, I'll wear it for a work shirt. Cost me $3. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you have on. I don't care what your job is. I care about the call of God on your life and what God spoke over you. And I believe that when you stand before him, our desire is, or I know that when you stand before him, our desire is that you say, Lord, when you stand there, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all we want to hear for your life. It happens when we agree with the stand up this morning. Ushers, come on up. You take communion. Thanks, brother. I just want to take communion this morning because he said in your word, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of the price that was paid for each one of us, right? Do it in remembrance of the cost of your salvation. The body of the Son of God destroyed on the cross, ripped to smithereens for our victory, not for our struggling through, not to believe lies all of our lives. No more lies going into your head. He did this for your freedom. That means when you come in, I don't remember, what's your name, sir? Huh?
Ty?
T-Y. That's a difficult one to remember. That's a very long one. And you know what, Ty, when I came in here this morning, or after I came out here, I just want you to know that he is bringing you into another season. It's a season of influence that you haven't enjoyed before. It's a season where he's getting ready that when you lay your hands on people, there's going to be an impartation and a transformation. Because people are going to come and say, why did you do that? Why did you shake my hand? And what happened when you shook my hand? Because he said he's bringing you into another season where you're going to fall so in love with his word that you're not going to know that anybody else is on the planet. You still have to take care of stuff, okay? You still have to mow the lawn and stuff, all right? You can't leave it to her, all right? But he's going to give you such a hunger and a love for his word that all you're going to do, everyone that you come in contact with, you're going to reach out your hand before they even touch it, and they're going to say, what are you doing? And you're just going to tell them, I'm doing the will of the Father, and their lives will be changed. Don't doubt it. Just enjoy it. And then grab one after another. And we start seeing them. Just, I mean, it's just like one hand after another pulling them and pulling them and pulling them. And that's all I could see. Was it was just like you were walking down the street grabbing one. Okay, get him. Somebody grab him. He's in. Grab this one. Someone else grab that one. And you were just going through them almost like a barrel of monkeys, just grabbing them one after another and bringing them in. So I just want to encourage you. It's coming. It's coming, Ty. I'll be watching. And I'll have what I expect. I want to encourage you. I don't know. When you look around the room, what did you see in someone else's life? Because I believe that if you know Jesus Christ, you can see. You can see Christ. Just look around the room. Look at these people. Turn around, look at them. Aren't they amazing?
Yes.
Look at how handsome our men are.
Yes.
It's amazing that these women married us. But it's amazing what God is about to do in your life when the word is the beginning of your sentences. It's the beginning of your morning. It's the end of your evening. It's in the middle as we prophesy over your children, your children's children. I want to encourage you this morning. It's his word. His grace is enough. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come and we lift up the bread before you. Lord, we know that it's a token, it's a remembrance. It's something that reminds us of how your body was ripped to pieces for each one of us. And we make a decision today, Lord, that we're not going to live a mediocre life, one without the word. Lord, that your word is going to come flying out of our mouths because we're going to ingest it. Because we know every time that Bible opens, the breath of life starts to fill us up. That's how we become those springs of living water. Father, we remember that you made a choice to send your only begotten Son, and he made a choice and said, not my will but thine be done. And Father, today as we remember the body that was broken for each one of us, Father, we make a decision today that we're going to do the same thing. Not our will but yours be done. We're willing and ready to sacrifice so that one more might come to know you. One more would be swept into the kingdom. One more would find deliverance through the power of the word. One more would be renewed in their strength. One more would be able to walk out of every curse spoken over their lives. Today, Father, we're reminded of the victory you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those stripes were for us. And we agree with what your word says. We shall be healed in Jesus' name. We give you the glory. Amen. And then take your cup and just hold it up in the air. Father, we agree. The blood was enough. We agree every curse is broken. We agree that our sins are forgiven for those that have named you and proclaimed you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, today, because we have been washed and made whole and you've thrown all the filthy rags, you've removed them from us. You've thrown all of our sins as far as the east is from the west into the deepest ocean, never to be remembered again, Lord. Because of that, we truly are cleansed today. Lord, there's joy in our lives today. Not that happiness that the world is running after and it goes from one thing to the next, but that joy is something that's permanent. In good times and in tough times, Lord, your joy becomes our strength. And today we rejoice in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Today we rejoice because of the washing and the cleansing. Today we rejoice for the blood of life, the blood of a new covenant, the blood of a whole new testament was for us. And today, Father, we agree that when we walk out of this room, that we'll be looking for those that are looking for you. That in the beginning, that word will come out of our houses. It will come out on our nightstands. It will come out in the back room. It'll come out when we're sitting outside. That word will be the last thing that we put before our eyes. We'll quote it. We'll memorize it. We'll share it with others because we know that every time we open our mouths, life comes out of us when we speak your word. Father, today we agree that Mike's leg is healed in the name of Jesus because of the power of your love. Father, today we want to say we love you. We honor you. We magnify you. We bow before you. In Jesus' name, amen.